Tonight we are going to discuss the identity of the Megillah and the dialectic between the status of the Megillah as a book, as a sefer, and as a letter, as an igeres. I want to thank Michael for sponsoring tonight's shiur. Le'iloi Nishmas, his mother, Chaya Zisel, Bas Mordechai Tzvi Aleha HaShalom, whose yortzeit is this coming Thursday. And we want to thank Michael for all that he does for the shul and all of his contributions, which are much appreciated. We are very lucky to have him amongst us. So the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, reports from Rav, Amar Rabbi Chelbel, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, in source number 2, Megillah Nikrei Sefer V'Nikrei Sigeres. The Megillah is dubbed a book, and it's also entitled a letter. Nikrei Sefer She'im Tafra B'chutei Pishtan Pesula. The halachic ramification of the fact that it is called a book is that if one sews the parchment of the Megillah together with strands of linen, it is invalid. V'nikrei sigeres, but on the other hand, it's called a letter, she'em hitil ba'shlo shaychute gidin kesheira, such that if one uses only three strands of sinew in order to tie together the different pieces of parchment of the Megillah, it would be valid, and that is in stark contrast to the Sefer Torah, which needs to be sewn along its entire length. In this case of the Megillah, only three strands, only three sewings, are necessary. So we have right off the bat the Gemara being sensitive to the fact that the Megillah has a dual status, almost an ambiguous characterization. And that stems from the Psukim in Perek Tes of the Megillah, where we have the codifying and the concretizing of Purim as a holiday for generations. And in one respect, at first, the Megillah is referred to as an Igeres, Tes Chavav, Al Kein Karu LaYomim HaEle Purim, Hashem HaPur, Al Kein Al Kol Divrei HaIgeres Hazos, itself testifies as a letter. But then at the very end of the Perek, so the Megillah says, U'ma'amar Esther Kiyam Divrei HaPurim HaEle V'nichtav BaSefer, that these words were written down in a Sefer. So on the one hand, it's an Igeres, and on the other hand, it's a Sefer. And the Gemara in Megillah Yates extrapolates from there that in one respect, it's treated like a Sefer Torah in that linen is invalid. But in another respect, it's treated like a letter, and the standards are less than that of a Sefer Torah in that we suffice with a fewer number of sewings. So we could have thought that that is the sole halachic expression of this dual status of Sefer and Igeres. But the truth is that we find amongst the Rishonim and in the world of Minhag that the Megillah's status as an Igeres really finds much, much expression in many, many different contexts. And the question is, in what way do we treat it like a Sefer, and in what way do we treat it like an Igeres? If we take for granted that this Gemara on Daf Yotes about how to sew the Megillah is not the only, it's not a sole distinction between Sefer and Igeres, so then what in general is the relationship between these two statuses? When do we follow each one? That's not my question, it's the Ramban's question. The Ramban, yeah.
Is there anything else that we use that's an Igeres?
No, so the Megillah is unique. Thank you, Arya, for pointing that out, and we're going to talk about that a lot tonight. The Megillah is unique in the fact that it's an Igeres. So, you know, actually, let's highlight that for a second. It's interesting that the Megillah is not just a Sefer. After all, we know that Megillah Esther is the last of the Chaf Dalid Sifrei HaKodesh, the Chaf Dalid Sifrei Tanakh. What? Yes, that's what we're going by. Yeah. So we would have thought that we should just treat it like another Sefer. We don't say about any of the other Megillahs that they're called an Igeres. And the truth is that the Gemara Megillah Yud Tes implies that. The Gemara says, Megillah Yud Zayin, I'm sorry. So the Mishnah says that you need to write the Megillah al HaSefer Uvidyo, on parchment and with permanent black ink. You cannot use any other types of ink or any other types of paper. And the Megillah, the Gemara over there, says, how do we know that to be the case? So it's the Gemara in Daf Yotes, source number 4, Minolan. How do we know that you need to use parchment and permanent ink? So Asya Kesiva Kesiva. We have Xer Shava Kesiva Kesiva. Ksiv Hacha Vatechtov Esther Hamalka. When it comes to the writing of the Megillah, so we use the verb of Ksiva. Uchsiv Hasam, and the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu with Baruch HaSofer that Vayomer Lehem Baruch Mipiv Yikro Ilai Eskol HaDvarim O'ilev Ha'aniko Sev Ala Sefer Bidyo. He's going to write on Sefer Bidyo, on parchment with permanent black ink. So over there, the verb kosev is used. So we derive a gzer shava, a link between ksiva, ksiva. In one context, ksiva dictates that we need to have parchment and ink. So too, when it says vatichtov Esther, that means that the Megillah needs parchment and ink. So it seems from that equation that we treat the Megillah just like the maisa ksiva, the act of writing of a Sefer Torah. So the fact that we are giving any credence to the Megillah status as an Igeres is, and certainly in halachic expressions, requires some explanation. And the Ramban was bothered by another question of in what respect do we treat it as a Sefer and in what respect do we treat it as an Igeres. And the Ramban explains that the way to draw the line is between the guf of the Megillah, the body of the Megillah, the form of the Megillah, versus the kriya of the Megillah, the reading of it. So when it comes to the body of the Megillah, we treat it like a sefer. That's why the pasuk says ksiva ksiva, so to tell us that the way that we create the form of the Megillah with the ink and with the parchment, that follows the rules and standards of a sefer Torah. In that respect, we call it a sefer. However, on the opposite end, when it comes not to the form of the Megillah, but rather to the usage of the Megillah, the reading from it, so in that regard, we treat it more like an Igeres, like the telling of a story from a letter. And that's why the Ramban explains that there are many differences between the way that we read the Megillah and the way that we read a Sefer Torah. For example, the Ramban says the opening Mishnah of the third parak of Maseches Megillah. So Koreas HaMegillah Omid V'Yoshev. Fundamentally, one is permitted to read the Megillah while sitting down. We don't do that because it's considered disrespectful to the Tzibor for the Baal Kore to be sitting down. But fundamentally, one is permitted to sit down. Whereas when it comes to reading from the Sefer Torah, one is absolutely required to stand. In addition, the Ramban quotes the Minhag that many of us are familiar with, that we take the Megillah and we fold it prior to the reading. And this is codified the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, source number 16. If you turn to the back page, we're doing some jumping around tonight. So source number 16, Shulchan Aruch says, Mina kol Yisrael sha'akori kore yuposhe ki geres laharos hanis. So the Shulchan Aruch associates this with persume nisa, that we fold the Megillah into pages in order to publicize the miracle. Seemingly what he means by that is that we're treating the Megillah like a letter, and thereby adding to the publicity of the Nes. So the Ramban references that as an expression of Igeres. Because when it comes to a Sefer is a scroll. An Igeres is a letter which apparently the normal way to read the letter is to fold its pages. After you're done with one page, you go to the next page. So we fold the entire Megillah before we even start reading from it. The Maharil is very clear about that. Some other differences. Some other differences here. We have some proactive differences. So the Ramban doesn't mention this, but let's turn to some of the Minhagim mentioned in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura writes that in addition to folding the Megillah, we also shake the Megillah when we get up to the word Igeres. So when the Baal Kore gets up to Alkein Alkol Divrei HaIgeres Hazo, I'm getting excited, okay? So HaIgeres Hazo, so you shake the Igeres, okay? In order to, again, be mefarsim the Nes, that we're considering the Megillah like this letter that was sent out. Some other differences. So Here, let's. I want to organize the differences a little bit in a little bit of a sharper manner. So, we have many distinctions with respect to how we read the Megillah versus how we read a Sefer Torah. We just mentioned a couple. The way in which the Sefer is situated, folding versus a scroll. We added the shaking, get to in a second. We said the posture of the Baal Koreh, whether he needs to stand or can even sit. What'd you say?
There should we learn, he can't even lean on the Sefer Torah.
That's right. That's right. Smicha would be, it has to be complete Amida. That's right. And there are some other differences that are more, I guess, I wouldn't call them a lessening. Yeah, actually, there are some differences that are even lessening of standards of the Kriya, right? So the fact that you fold the Megillah is not like a lessening of a standard, but the fact that you can sit is, right? And what about the fact that the Tosos HaRosh points out in source number 13, that the fact that it's called an Igeres, Umehai Taima Harav Rabbeinu Yonah Pam Achas Kara Benigunin Shonim, Vigam Lahachi Yash Bnei Adam Shakur Nosa Umedalgin Tam Kriya. Says the Tosos HaRosh, isn't it so strange that only for the Megillah do we like take some psukim and just sing them with like our own like little fancy little tune, completely skipping over the trup? Imagine if somebody did that, laying on Shabbos from the Sefer Torah, we'd kick him out, right?
This,
okay, fine. So, but, you know, so Tosos HaRosh says, what's the justification to just, you know, start doing these tunes in the middle? That's not the trup. He says, because it's an Igeres. So we have, again, a lessening of a standard as to how rigid we are about the trup. I'll get to you in a second. One other one is, you know what, actually, yeah, Ethan, question?
Yeah, truck-wise. So, you know, it's traditional, you know, for Tisha B'Av to read the Torah with a funny truck. Sometimes for Echa, the Devarim, and it's also on fast days when the congregation responds to the Torah.
Yeah. So, but in all of those cases, we read the words with a truck, with a Mapach Pashta, Mercha, Tipcha. You just change the way that that sounds. But when it comes to the Megillah, this apparently used to be even more of a custom, and we still have some remnants of this Bizman Hazeh, where you take some psukim and you don't do a trup at all. You say maher kaches halavush ve'esasus kasher dibarta vasichin Mordechai Yehudi ayoshev shar amelech al tapel davar mikol asher dibarta. That's not a trup.
You're just flying through the words,
right?
When
so. So that also appears to be a lessening of a standard. Now, one of the most accentuated ones is, what if a person makes a mistake reading the Megillah? You read the Baal Koreh makes a mistake.
On the word or the tune?
Let's see. On the word. So let's see.
Something with like the Haftorah, where you shouldn't correct someone when they're reading from the regular like sitter.
Shabbos, because it doesn't have the same din as reading from a cloth.
Then you would, right,
but you would assume that for the Megillah, we're reading from a cloth, you should treat it the same way. So take a look at this.
Well, there's a mitzvah by Megillah too.
There's a mitzvah to hear every word, for sure. So he can't, right. So you can't skip. Well, let's see. Says the Yerushalmi in source number 7, Tani ein medaktikin b'ta'uyoseha. We are not so scrupulous about mistakes. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba bar Mechasav, Rav Chananel, Havan Yesivin Komei Rav. So the Amoraim were sitting before Rav. Chad Omar Yehudim. One of them read the Megillah and said the word Yehudim. The Chad Omar Yehudiyim. And the other one said Yehudiyim. V'lo chazar chad minayon. And Rav did not compel either one to reread the Megillah. So he was fine with either one. Meaning someone made a mistake, right? But he was fine with either one. Says the Rioz, Rabbi Shaya Dutrani, 13th century Italy, based on this Yerushalmi, v'ner be'enai shelo hitzrichu likro ha'osios ha'chaseros al peh. Ve'im lo kar'an lo yatza, ela ba'osios ha'mafsidin es ha'kriya. Kigon v'imei apurim ho'ila lo yavru im hishmit milas lo mafsid es ha'kriya. Says the Riaz, when is it true that you're not yotzei? If the Baal Koreh doesn't say a word that affects the meaning of the pasuk. So when it says Vimei Apurim Oida Lo Yavru Mitoch HaYehudim, so it's saying that these days of Purim will never pass from the Jewish people. They will always be embedded within our tradition. So if you forget the word lo, then you've completely changed the pasuk. So for that, you would not be yotze. V'chein mem shel matanos le'evyonim v'chayotze bohen. Avalim hishmit shar ha'osios o shar ha'milos she'enon mafsidin asakriya avi. So then yotza. Says the Riyaz, if the Baal Koreh leaves out a letter or a word that doesn't detract from the meaning of the pasuk, then you're yotze. Af ha'pish lokron klal. Even if you didn't read it at all. And that's what the Yerushalmi means. The Ritva picks up on this as well. And he ties it to the Megillah status as Igeres. That the reason why we have a lesser standard for mistakes in the Megillah versus in the Sefer Torah is because we treat the reading of the Megillah like a letter. Now, we don't paskin like this Riyaz. The Rashba explains the Yerushalmi differently. Source number 9. V'davka b'to'uyo sha'aloshon v'ho'inyon echad k'gon Yehudim v'Yehudiyim. Avotos ha'cher lo she'im kein lo karakula. The Rashba says, no. The Yerushalmi's example was very precise. The Yerushalmi specifically gave the example of Yehudim and Yehudiyim because there is no difference between those. It's just adding one letter. Says the Yerushalmi, you add a letter, that doesn't matter. You're not changing the meaning at all. You haven't forgotten any words. However, if you forget a word, says the Rashba, of course you're not Yotze, because the din is, you have to hear every single word. And that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. And Mishneh Berurah, source number 11, Vidas Rov HaPoskim, Shafilu Imchiser Mimeno Rak Teva Achas, Lo Yotze. But if you look at Bir Halacha in source number 12, there seems to be some expression, some manifestation of the Riaz's position. Because the Bir Halacha writes, it quotes the Chai Adam at least. Achein b'Chai Adam, last line of the Bir Halacha. Chosha Shadas Hariyaz, the Chosav the Teva Shein Mafsir Akriya, Choser ve'Einu Mevarech. If you read the Megillah, then somebody says, "Ah, you said Yavru mitoch Hayudim. You didn't say Lo Yavru." So now the Halacha is you got to reread from the beginning. Yeah, but you don't make another bracha because the Riaz held that that's not Ma'akif. So the Riaz Shita even has practical manifestation. So this is wild. So now what we have on the books, if we do a quick summary of the expressions of Igeres, which already pointed out to begin with, is striking, because we don't have any other of the Kisvei HaKodesh that have this status as Igeres. Igeres really fundamentally changes the way that we read the Megillah, in terms of the folding, the shaking, that you're allowed to sit, the fact that sometimes we skip over the trup, and even a lessening of standards for mistakes. So, yes.
So, it seems like there's definitely space to discuss, even like you said, the Bir Halacha brings down the Chai Adam, where if you make a mistake, whether you need to go back or not, or it's not Machiv. So why do we bedafka, either one or two places where we go back to, we switch Beis or Lamed.
Right. Bifneihem, Lifneihem. Right. Yeah, because we want to get every single word right. That's because the way that we paskin is that v'yashol medavka betosha aloshon v'ha'inyon echad. So to say maker adin your yotze even if you don't go back on those psukim, right? But we're trying to get every single word right.
If you make a mistake and when you're reading it this way, the Yehudim and Yehudim, it's the same thing.
Lifnehem and Bifnehem, I don't think it changes the meaning of the pasuk. So I think meiker adin you'd be yotze even without going back. But again, that's the minimum. Yeah.
So all this is details of what the halachos are.
Yeah.
Does anybody talk about why?
Overall. That's what I'm getting to. Yeah. No, thank you, Shkar. Okay. Basically, I was saying, get to the punchline. Okay. No. But yes, that's where I'm going. So, but let me add one more point. Okay. So all that I've said so far is that Igeres changes the way that we read the Megillah. But the truth is that Igeres also, so like the Ramban goes for this clean split between, on the one hand, there's the Sefer, the form of the Megillah, and on the other hand, there's the reading of the Megillah. And then he kind of gets tripped up with certain halachos that don't seem to fit cleanly into one category or the other. So take a look at the Ramban in source number 5. It says like this. Umeata, the third paragraph. Umeata lo hutzrachnu lamasha kosu v'nichtav ba sefer, ela lelamid advarim she'enon migufan. So we need Basefer to teach us, says the Ramban, about a category that is not exactly the body of the Megillah itself, but still relates to the body. Kigon Tfira, like the halacha that the Gemara itself relates, the sewing of the Megillah. Tfira de Pishtan, Shafila Boheni Donis Kidin Sefer, even with respect to the sewing, it's considered like a Sefer. V'ahani lani geres l'hakel b'shloshay chutei gidin v'cheivan she'atfira eino migufa mamish asu b'minhag igeres. Says the Ramban that when it comes to something that's not the form itself, it's not the parchment, it's not the ink, but rather the tying together of the different parchments, that falls somewhere in between. And in that respect, it has aspects of both Sefer and Igeres. So it's almost like the actual body of the Megillah, that's entirely Sefer. Dio, parchment. The reading of the Megillah, the Kriya, that's entirely Igeres. But when it comes to this in-between category, this gray area of something that relates to the body, but is not really Kriya, says the Ramban, we have a coalescing of Sefer and Igeres.
You could technically write the entire Megillah on one piece of parchment.
Okay.
So you don't need...
Assuming that we have multiple pieces, we're saying we're going to be makel to suffice with fewer. So when we get to these gray areas, we have to ask ourselves the question of what are we doing here? Meaning, I would have thought just treat it like a Sefer. Like that has more to do with the body than it does to do with the Kriya. This clean split between the body and the Maisa Kriya, the reading, doesn't really fit with the Gemara's halacha, which is about the Tfiros. It's about the sewing. And I'll give you one more.
Is that the only location that the Gemara talks about?
It's the only one. I'll give you one more. The Ramban at the end over here says like this. The Megillah is kosher, even if it's missing letters in its writing. Even if 49% of the Megillah is missing, but 51% is there, it's kosher. As long as the Baal Koreh reads all of the words, and he reads the ones that are not there by heart, you're Yotze. Anybody ever imagine anything like that with a Sefer Torah? Of course not. Every letter has to be there. Says the Ramban, why do we suffice with missing letters, missing words in the Megillah? Because it's called an Igeres. But hold on a second. That has nothing to do with the reading. That has to do with the writing. You just told me that the writing needs to be in ink and needs to be on parchment. So I would have thought that the content of the Megillah, the writing, should also need to be like the Sefer Torah. But here again, the Ramban is walking back from his clean divide between Kriya and the form, the Guf. And the question becomes, how exactly do we explain, Ari's question, how exactly do we explain this combination or this synthesis between Sefer and Igeres? So I'd like to suggest a possible approach rooted in a very keen diuk, very careful read that I heard from Mori Virabi Rav Rosenzweig many times. Rav Rosenzweig pointed out that in the ninth perek of Megillas Esther, there is a major transition in what the day of Purim was going to look like. Originally, it was going to be Yemei Simcha U'Mishte, days of joy and feasting. Yemei Simcha U'Mishte. And at that point, the Gemara Megillah Daf Hei notes that at that point, the day was going to have with it an Isser Malacha. It was going to be a Yontif Dirabanan. The Rabbanan were going to make us a Yontif, just like the Yomim Tovim of the Torah, but this one was going to be made by the Rabbanan. So it would have a Din of Simcha, and it would have an Isser Malacha. However, the Megillah eventually settles on a different formulation of the day. Yemei Mishte V'Simcha. It changes the order from Simcha u'Mishte to Mishte v'Simcha, feast and joy. Originally it's Simcha then Mishte, now it's Mishte then Simcha. And guess what else gets dropped the Isser Malacha. Now we have no Isser Malacha on Purim. Okay, Eino Roa Simin Bracha La'olam, but there's no formal Isur to do Malacha on Purim. What is this transition between version 1 of Purim and the concluding version of Purim? So Rav Rosenzweig explained very poignantly that the general paradigm that we have when it comes to Yamim Tovim is a mandated experience that we do in action in order to achieve that experience. So for example, the Torah tells us that on a Yontif, we have to be besimcha. We have to have Simchas Yontif. How are we supposed to achieve that state of Simcha? With Suda, Basar. But the mandate, the command starts with, this is the state of mind, this is the experience that you should have, and the actions that you should do should bring you to that experience. That was the original version of Purim. Yimei Simcha u'mishte. It's a day of Simcha, and therefore have a mishte. Right? Have the Suda because it's a day of Simcha. Comes along the second version, Yimei Mishte v'Simcha, and says, I know, Purim is establishing a different paradigm of experience. Purim is a day when the experience, it's that the action flows from the experience. It's not a top-down where the experience is mandated. You have a state of mind that you need, and therefore you do the action in order to get to the experience. No. First you have the experience, and then you concretize the experience in action. Mishteh v'simcha. First you have the mishteh, the experience of joy and feast, and that is what leads to a formal character of the day of Purim as a day of Simcha. So I thought that the same could be true for this dialectic between Igeres and Sefer. Sefer is the paradigm of a formal text. It's a scroll, like the Sefer Torah. Very rigid standards. In Igeres is much more flexible in its standards. And the Igeres highlights the storytelling of the day. Exactly like what we explained last week when we got into the relationship between Mikra Megillah at night and Mikra Megillah during the day. And we said how Mikra Megillah can be used on the one hand to be a formal ceremonial reading that highlights the themes of the day. That's the day's reading. But it could also be used as a means to get us into the shoes of Mordechai and Esther. And Vayu Demasher B'Shushan. To bring back the story, to relive and reenact the story. Mikra Megillah can be used in an experiential way. And that's Mikra Megillah at night. So Mikra Megillah at night, the experience of getting back into the shoes of the people in Shushan, brings about a day where we concretize it in action with all of the mitzvos hayom and repeating the Mikra Megillah during the day, just like we read from a Sefer Torah and any other yontif. So Chazal took that dialectic and they infused it into the Megillah itself, into the object of the Megillah. Almost to say that the Megillah began as an Igeres. If you look in Perek Tes, it began as an Igeres. If you look in Perek Tes, Igeres comes first. It begins as an Igeres and it ends up as a Sefer. You start from the place of this is the story, of a storytelling type of letter. And when you're in touch with that experience, that brings you to a place of a more formalized act. Taking the Igeres and now transforming it into a Sefer. And essentially the halachos are saying that even though you have the Sefer, don't forget about the origins. This came from an Igeres. So we're going to read it like an Igeres. And not only are we going to read it like an Igeres, they're actually going to be ramifications and manifestations of Igeres within the Sefer. You can have some of the words missing. You can make mistakes. You can get away with fewer of the sewing. Only shalosh tefiros. Because what we're saying is that don't forget the origins of the Megillah as an Igeres that is then turned into the Sefer. And this follows the paradigm of what the day of Purim is supposed to be. Not Simcha u'mishte, but rather Mishte v'simcha. It's from the place of the experience of getting into the feast. So you have the feast. Ah, now let's concretize the day. Now the day is going to be a day of Simcha. From that place of being in the Mishte.
You should have the Mishte at night then.
Because that's the
morning at least.
Well, then, first of all, there are opinions that to say to have it in the morning.
It also, but you can start the yayin at night.
Okay, I hear. So we still have Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, meaning that we're right. Supposed to be creating the day of Purim, right? And the creation of the day of Purim is more of the daytime, right? We're kind of like we're getting into the experience of Purim at night. And then now we have the concretizing of that experience during the day. But even when we concretize the experience, it comes from Mishta that turns into now we have a day of Simcha. Yeah. So this is really a powerful idea because it shows how the paradigm of Purim is really the opposite. It's topsy turvy, even a hapochu, of the paradigms of Yomim Tovim to Oraisa. Yontif derabanan, that stems from the Rabbanan. I think it's very much connected to the fact that it does stem from the Rabbanan. It's grassroots. It's saying that you have this experience, now we have to do something about it, not top-down structure where we're mandated a certain experience that we then have to do actions in order to achieve. And from this perspective, I think we can really understand also, as Sfasema says, that Sefer and Igeres is representative of Megillas Esther being the transition or the link between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Is that what you were thinking? Okay, so Sefer is Torah Shebichsav. It's the last of the Kisvei HaKodesh. Megillas Esther is part of Torah Shebichsav. But at the same time, it also has the status of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Yerushalmi says that, forget about the Yerushalmi for now, but it also has the status of Torah Shebaal Peh. That is represented by the Igeres. And what we're saying is that it has the formal stature of Sefer, of everything written in stone, the written word that's rigid, but then at the same time, it's the Rabbanan. This is the Yontif Derabbanan that we created for ourselves, and that's the Torah Shebaal Peh, us taking charge, taking the initiative of our Mesorah, and creating this holiday from the experience that we had. Okay, Ashkach, everybody.